Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Not too many more conversations left in the book of 1 Thessalonians, but these have been great. Josh, I don't know about you, but every time I read a familiar passage in the Bible, it seems as if God taps me on the shoulder and shows me something I had never seen before.
Yeah, it's interesting because as you study the Bible throughout your life, and you know, I've been in church ever since I was a little baby. You feel like at some points, yeah, I've already heard all this, I already know all this. But as you keep reading it, as you keep studying, God shows you new things day by day.
I think life itself, the experiences of life, are in themselves a hermeneutic. A way by which we can interpret the Bible, because some things you just don't understand because you don't perceive that you need it. Mm. For instance, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention as a kid to verses about being a husband
right,
or being a dad. Or I'll tell you this, is really practical for me right now, being a grandfather. Mm. And what the Bible says about generational influence. I'll tell you what, I pay attention to that stuff now.
Yeah, it's so important. We get into different stages of life, then the Bible takes on new meaning to us in each different stage.
So yesterday, we talked about the attitudes that God expects for us to have. This is what God wills for us, that we would rejoice, that we would pray without ceasing, we would give thanks and everything, realizing that God has an underlying purpose in everything that happens in our life, the things that fall out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, the Apostle Paul said. And today, there are three more little pithy statements, imperatives that God gives us. I'm going to read them, and then we're going to come back and try to talk about each one of them. So, my friends, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. So verse 19, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesyings. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And then I'll add verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. So four little pithy imperatives that God gives us here at the end of this this great book. And let's see if we can treat them one by one. So when the Bible says, quench not the spirit, help us to understand that, Josh.
Yeah, when I think about that phrase, my mind kind of goes back to Mark chapter 9, verse 48. Jesus himself says, talking of hell, this is a place where the worm dies not and the fire's not quenched. And so when I think of the word quench, I think of a fire. I guess I kind of think sometimes of thirst as well, probably because of the old Sprite slogan, obey your quench your thirst or obey your thirst. And so when I think of that word, that's kind of where I come to. You're putting something out. And when you think about a fire, you know, you can put a fire out actively, you can throw water on it, you can throw a blanket on it, or you can be a little bit more passive about it. You can walk away from it. And eventually, once the fuel is gone, if you're not adding wood to it, it's going to die out. And I think those are two ways that we can quench the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can actively do it where I stop listening and I'm doing everything that I can to run away from conviction and to run away from the Holy Spirit's work, or I can passively do it where I become indifferent and I just begin to be distracted by all of these different things in my life and in the world. And I think that's kind of what Paul is speaking to here.
It's interesting that when John the Baptist introduced the concept of an indwelling spirit, that there cometh one after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, you find that the ministry of the Holy Ghost and the concept of fire are often mentioned together. Yeah. Even there at Pentecost, the cloven tongues of fire were on top of the heads of those apostles. So you see the imagery, the metaphor of fire being used in regard to the Holy Spirit. And so I do agree with you, Josh, that to quench the Spirit would to be put out that fire. Sometimes we'll talk about there's a fire burning in me. You know, did not our hearts burn within us?
Right,
you know, the Emmaus disciples said. And I think we quench the Spirit of God, who wants to really ignite us, you know, to use another flammable term, ignite us to serve Him. So what is the primary way? You mentioned dousing or putting water on or smothering or walking away from. But I think if you look at the very next imperative, it gives us a good idea about one of the ways by which primarily we quench the Spirit, because it says, quench not the Spirit, and then right on the heels of that, despise not prophesyings. So prophesyings, we wouldn't use that term today because we have a completed copy of the Word of God. The canon of Scripture has been completed. But remember, in the early church, before the entire Bible had been assembled, I mean, this is a letter Paul's writing. It's part of the Bible. This is a matter of the apostles and the prophets receiving and communicating revelation from God. So we would say today, despise not the Word of God. Despise not the revelation that God is giving to you. Receive it. You know why? Because we don't always want to hear what authority wants to say. Would that be a true statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, none of us really love authority in our lives. We like to be in control. We like to be the one that's giving the orders. But obviously, we have to accept authority in our lives.
And one thing we know is the Word of God, the prophesyings here, is authoritative. And the other thing we know is that the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God. That's His primary tool. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to help the child of God become more like the Son of God. That's sanctification. So we quench the Spirit when we say no to the Word of God, when we despise prophesying. So let's get really, really practical, because nobody wants to think in his heart that I despise, I hate, I abhor the Word of God. We would never say that attitudinally. But in what ways do we end up really by our actions despising the Word of God?
Yeah, I think when we fail to make God's Word a part of our everyday life, that's one way that we begin to despise it. When we fail to, we talked about this in the previous podcast, but when we fail to communicate with God through prayer, you know, that's another way that we despise God's work and God's Word and God's sanctification and that process that's taking place in our lives. You know, I would come back to what we talked about a few episodes ago, and that is just being in church and having a presence there where I'm worshiping amongst my fellow believers.
Yeah, going to a place where I know the Word of God is going to be faithfully taught and preached. All of that, I think, is part of it that we despise. But I think even more subtly sometimes, we despise prophesying when we hear the Word, because sometimes we think, well, but no, I am in church. I'm listening to the podcast.
Right, yeah.
I'm reading the Bible. But we're really despising it if we're receiving it in our ears but not practicing it.
Yeah, and
it's a mockery.
One of the ways that we often do that is we say, oh, well, I wish so-and-so would hear this. Man, so-and-so really needs to hear this message, or they really need to hear that truth. And we just kind of despise it for ourselves when really I'm the one that needed to hear that truth, but I'm not paying attention to it because I'm so concerned with my neighbor or my friend or my spouse. And so we despise it in that way as well.
Josh, I am so glad you said that, because our listeners really needed to hear that. Of course, I did not need to hear that.
Right.
Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. And then I love verse 21, and I wish we'd quote it and think about it more often, because the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So this really speaks to the need for believers to be discerning.
Yeah, absolutely. And man, is there any more important time for this than today, when there's so much discernment necessary in our world today? And I think some of this, Paul in Acts 17, when he's there at Berea, really that's where we kind of see the church at Thessalonica being birthed here. But he says in verse number, I believe it's verse 10, verse 11, excuse me, he says, these were more noble, speaking of the believers at Berea, than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
They were proving all things.
Exactly, right.
We would use the word today, vetting. I want to vet this out. In modern day ministry, there's a premium placed upon vetting out the people that you hire. Mm. You want to check their Facebook page,
right.
Check their resume, call their references. But when it comes to the people and the principles and the doctrines, that the teachings that we allow to come into our life, how much more important it is for us to prove all things. And then to retain that which is good, to hold fast, throw out the bones.
Yes, right? Yeah, that's exactly the phrase that came to my mind too when I was thinking through this passage was, hey, I'm gonna chew up the meat and I'm gonna spit out the bones. I'm gonna get the things that are good, get the things that are gonna make me move forward in my Christian life, and the things that aren't, I'm gonna cast them aside. But the important thing is that I know God's word. Because if I don't know God's word, if I don't know the Bible, then I don't know what's meat and what's bones.
So look at how these go together then. Okay, so we don't quench the spirit, because God wants to teach you his word.
Right.
So we quench the spirit when we despise prophesying, when we don't imbibe the word of God, when we don't apply it to our lives. Well, then the Bible says we're to prove all things. Well, what that implies is that just what you just said.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is that there's a measure of Bible knowledge that I have by which to prove.
Right.
It's the microscope by which I look at what comes across the table, the petri dish of my life.
Yes, everything's got to go through that filter of God's word. Mm. And no other filter is good enough to pass everything in my life through.
Which leads us to our very last imperative, which is verse 22, where the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And I know that this is an oft-quoted verse, and it ought to be. It's a wonderful teaching in the Bible. I think, though, Josh, that we tend to misquote it a bit. We try to make it to mean that, hey, even if it looks evil, stay away from it. And that's certainly a good Bible principle.
Sure.
And I think you can make that application from here. But that's really not what it's saying. What it's saying is stay away from evil in all of its forms. Hmm. Is what that means.
Yeah,
evil sometimes doesn't appear to be evil.
Right, right.
So it's almost the opposite of the way that we apply it, because sometimes something looks like it's the right thing, but it's not the right thing.
Yeah.
So abstain from evil in all of the way it appears.
Yeah, and I think the warning here is to these believers, these young believers, many of them at Thessalonica in this new church, who maybe they're having some false teaching come their way. Maybe they're having some people amongst them, and we see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul gives them some warnings there about some people that might be in their midst, and I think it comes back to this: abstain from all appearance of evil, even the things that maybe don't look evil.
And that's my whole point, is that I have found believers are typically good at abstaining from evil that is overtly evil.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those that do. We tend to pick the things that we think are bad.
Yes.
Or make us look bad. But then we adopt or embrace or continue in acceptable sins. And what the Bible is saying, no, evil, no matter how well you dress it, is still evil. And so however it appears, identify it and abstain from it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, again, how all of this connects, because oftentimes acceptable sins are, I'm not going to do my devotions. I'm not going to go out and reach people for Christ.
Everybody else is doing this,
right.
So it can't be wrong.
Right, right.
So that's where proving all things,
yes,
not despising prophesyings, letting the word of God be our filter. That's how we're going to see evil even when it's dressed up and looks good.
Yeah, yeah. Because if people can look at my life and see me doing evil, you talked about drinking and smoking and chewing and all those things, people can see that in my life. But oftentimes, people aren't going to know if I'm not reading my Bible.
Right.
People aren't going to know if I'm not out witnessing.
Or if I'm harboring that bitterness or whatever
right.
it
yeah.
might be in my life. So a lot to chew on today, my friends, but always amazed at how the Bible fits together harmonistically. Sometimes verses that you think are just standalone, how they all fit and dovetail together. I hope you'll have a great day today. I hope you'll chew on a couple of these thoughts. Again, I appreciate you joining us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.